Hey, what's up, guys? We are about a week away from kickoff. Hope you're all as jacked up as we are here at CycloneFanatic.com. It's time now for another Off the Record. It's part two of my season preview for the Cyclones with the one and only Brent Bloom. Before we bring on the Bloomster, let's take a moment to thank our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. No, I didn't. They have a women's center. There is an Iowa Clinic Women's Center. But I'm not thinking the Iowa Clinic Women's Center today. I'm thinking the Iowa Clinic Men's Center because that's what we are. We're men. And you know what the most non-man thing ever to do? It's to not take care of yourself. You know there's people who rely on you. Do you have kids? Do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a wife? Those people rely on you. And when you treat your body like crap and you don't take care of it, you don't go to the doctor, like our friends, my personal friend Doc Nicholson there at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center in Ankeny, that's not called being a man. You're not a man. Go get your physical. And I'd also like to give a shout out to my dudes at the Urgent Care. I told you about this last time when I had the scarlet fever bloom.
Bad news.
Wife threw me in the truck and we went to the Urgent Care. They took care of me. So, yeah. Anyways, that's an important PSA here before we get going with Off the Record.
I've used the Iowa Clinic Urgent Care. I had the flu back in March.
Did they take care of you?
Oh.
What'd they do to you?
I got, because you're miserable. Like, yeah, you don't want to talk to me.
Just want to die.
Yeah, really. And that's hooked me up with some Tamiflu. I was better before you knew it.
Look at this guy. Yeah, get the Tamiflu.
That
works?
It kind of did.
Okay. I've never had that before.
It shortened it by like a day and a half, which when you have the flu, you want no part of life.
Iowa Clinic. We love them. All right. It's time for part two of our... Before I do that, quick reminder that next week begins the Cyclone Fanatic radio show at Benchwarmers. It's presented, as always, by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Tim Mullen will be back for our picks. We're looking forward to that. 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNO. Another set time to mark on your calendar every day or every week during the season. Jeff Woody and Jared Stansberry will have CFTV Live with Agrigold. Did you see the Woodman?
He had the marker board out.
Yeah, he was taking us all to school.
I learned something from Jeff.
It was really good.
He's a sharp dude.
That looked better aesthetically than I thought it would. The guys did a nice job with the camera and all that stuff. So, I'm looking forward to that every Tuesday. 12:15, weird time, but Jeff's got to get from his day job to Ankeny to the studio. So that's why 12:15 every day, but then it's on demand. You can watch it whenever you want.
It allows those who want to watch it live, get your lunch, you know, go back to your queue.
Yeah.
You got 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Sit there and watch it.
So anyways, the season is here, and boom, we got together, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, and we did our initial season preview. It was right when fall camp was starting. We didn't know enough about the team to really, you know, to dive too deep. It was more of a overview of what the season could be, and to a point we're still there, but we do know more specifics about Iowa State football. Really the only significant injury throughout fall camp that we know of is Jake Campos. That sucks. Like, that's if you had to name a list of five guys you didn't want to lose, he'd be right there toward the top.
That's an interesting question. Who would be number one on that list?
I think there's a
correct answer.
Lazard?
Nope.
Warren?
Nope.
Lanning?
Nope.
Cotton Moya?
No. You're going down the list. It's probably not one many people think about, but I think...
DeMond Tucker.
Yeah.
I was just thinking offense. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I think if there's one guy...
Yeah, DeMond Tucker.
...that would cause the House of Cards to just fall apart, it's him.
Remember the Iowa game last year?
Right. That's a perfect example.
Because
he got hurt second quarter.
Was right on that run.
Oh, was that the was that
I don't
the
know
Bethard
if it was
run,
the specific
was
play, but I
that.
Swear it was like right when he went out, and then Bethard went on that like 60-yard scramble or whatever it was.
I don't know if we realize how good that guy is, especially in that spot. I'll be interested how he is this year when he changes from, you know, that 3-4 to a 4-3. If that makes him better, or he's pretty good at that nose. We've had some help there. Maybe it'll make him even more athletic in there. I think he's the most valuable player on the team.
No, I like that. It's a good take.
Because run defense, if there's two stats that cause winning football. One, run defense. Two, turnover margin. If you're good in both those, chances are you have a winning record. Those are the two things I always look at. When you look at Alabama in the last 15 years, Where they've been almost every single year is in the top five of run defense. Hmm. And that's why Iowa State has historically never been a elite program. Remember the 2 years they were good?
Yeah.
What'd they have?
Really good defensive line.
Yeah, you look at 2000, you had James Reed, Jordan Carson, that group. You look at 2005 when you had Brent Curvey and Nick Leaders.
Berryman
on that line. Yeah, it's defensive.
Sean Moorhead.
It's so hard. It's been hard over the years for Iowa State to get good defensive line, but when they've had them, those have usually been their best years, and I think that correlates exactly to run defense.
I'm very optimistic about this defensive line.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to be like stealing your manhood.
Sure.
But I think that there's enough guys who have played and can give you snaps.
They have experience.
Yeah, like I'm okay with that. And then I think they have enough tuckers.
Federal Trent I saw is now probably number one at the other spot.
That doesn't really do anything for me, but hopefully he's developed. That's what you want to do. You want to develop guys and play them in their third, fourth, and fifth years. The one I'm disappointed, and I don't know if it's a bad thing or maybe they're slow playing us, but I don't know, like Justin Thomas, we haven't even heard his name.
I know. I was just thinking about that. Where in the world is Justin Thomas?
I'm going to send a text.
Because he...
Maybe I can get an answer before that.
Before last year, I believe a quote from one of the coaching staff members to you was, he's worth two wins.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like that staff did get fired.
They did.
But he came in with so much... That is correct. I did get that quote.
At this time last year, I was talking about how much of an impact is Justin Thomas going to make. And he was okay last year. He wasn't great. But I have literally heard nothing about him spring ball, summer workouts, or any fall camp. And they didn't bring him up on defensive line day. So I don't know what's going on with Justin. I assume he's still on the team.
Because you need... Like, you can have a bunch of Vernell Trents, and that's fine. Like, the Nate Frayers of the world.
Right.
But you need some dudes, too. You need just one or... Like, if you've got a bunch of guys like that, you've got to have a guy outside of DeMond if you really want to make an impact.
And Mitchell Myers is the best story for Iowa State football all fall.
Well, he's...
There's no question.
Maybe in all of college football. Yeah. I mean, he's right up there.
But he can't do it himself. And so, if Justin Thomas has to help out there. And
do you trust Gabe Luna?
Not really.
I mean, we've never seen him. I don't know.
He's never been healthy. And same with the JUCO kid, Stewart. We really haven't.
No, I don't know any. I got to see something either from these guys.
I don't know what happened to Justin Thomas. It's like, where's Waldo?
He's a very visible kid.
Where's
like
Justin?
6'7".
But nobody's talked about him.
Yeah.
He's got to be up there. We haven't heard otherwise.
Massive defensive lineman, David Irving, making a name for himself in the league.
Of all the things. That's amazing that he we'll talk about this later, true freshman. But if you think of the true freshman that played in the Rhodes era, they actually identified good ones that played because Irving played as a true freshman, made the NFL. Jeremiah George played. He's in the NFL. Leonard Johnson was Chizik, but he played as a true freshman, made the NFL.
Jevin Miller.
Did he ever play as a true freshman?
Yeah.
Okay, I think he did, yeah.
He was on, like, special teams.
Both Knott and Klein played. Paul Rhodes' first year. They both made the NFL. Who else played? Josh Lentz played as a true freshman, I believe.
Yep, he's still
kicking around a little bit.
That's a really good point.
The guys they identified to play early usually did well for themselves professionally. And David Irving was one of those. He didn't do a lot his freshman year. Remember, he just basically tried to block kicks.
Correct.
But they saw something.
Didn't
in
he
him
get his hand up one at TCU?
He did.
Yeah.
No, and then as a sophomore, that's when he had his huge breakout game against TCU where he had the...
Oh, maybe that's the game
where
I'm
he had the tip.
Of.
I think it was a tip, tip interception return for a touchdown.
Maybe that's the game I'm thinking of.
But he, it's amazing. He's an undrafted free agent, and now he's probably going to be a starter for the Cowboys.
It's crazy.
And yet, he's very good at holding stop signs.
All right, so we, jeez, thanks. Thanks, Visha. Do you blame David Irving or Visha? I blame David Irving.
If it's not for David Irving, Visha still might be here.
I think that's a very fair point. Okay, Justin Thomas, we got that checked off the list. I'm optimistic about the defensive line. You seem to be more optimistic about the offensive line than I am.
Yeah, I the more I thought about it, because the first reaction when Campbell goes down, I was like, dang it. Like, that was the one guy.
That's the right reaction, by the way.
Who had any starting experience.
Correct.
And he had the, 20 starts.
Correct.
I was like, what in the heck? Like, there's one start. Now there's one. So the headline is, Iowa State now returns one starter on offensive line. It's like, oh, my gosh. They're throwing a JV team out there on the offensive line. But if you break it down now, that doesn't include Bo Beck at center, who has, what, 12 starts under his belt at Minnesota and Ohio State, and doesn't include Scoggins, who's been really good in fall camp, who missed all of last year with a knee injury. He's going to be a starter. And Good Jones is versatile. I don't know if the drop-off from redshirt sophomore Campos to redshirt freshman Good Jones this year is that different. Now, maybe Campos this year would have been better. But I think they have high expectations for Good Jones. I think he'll fill in okay. I mean, Campos wasn't an all-pro tackle last year. He was going to be good. They still gave up the second most sacks in all of college football last year with 41. So there's room to grow. And then if you factor in Toledo's prowess on the offensive line, the last 3 years, Toledo finished second in the nation in fewest sacks allowed with 5, 17th in the nation in 14, fewest sacks allowed with 12, and then in 2013, under the same staff, they are first in the nation, fewest sacks allowed.
Yeah, but they're in the MAC.
I know, but they still have pass rushers in the MAC. It's not like they're playing against high school teams.
Your point well taken, and I appreciate you trying to make everybody feel better.
No, but they do. These guys, the style of play. Now, part of that last year was Joel Landon held on the ball too long because they got to get him to throw the football.
And so did Sam, notoriously.
It's not all the offensive
Sam line. Would never just throw the damn ball. Like, he'd take off.
Landon did the same thing.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, they're not replacing Coleccio Semele and Hayworth Hicks on the offensive line. Okay, these guys, Jameis Long was good. Campos is good. Burton was good. But
Burton
not,
was so dinged up last year. Dagle wasn't really
was
himself. Yeah.
I think there will be a drop-off from Campos to Good Jones. I don't know if it's that precipitous where it's going to unravel the whole operation.
No, but what the problem you have, though, is not only the drop-off from Campos to Good Jones, but, like, it's Good Jones to who's next.
You're right.
That's my deal. It's not – like, I agree with you. In fact, Brent, I think I'm pretty comfortable with the five guys they're going to throw out there against Northern Iowa.
Agreed.
I really am. But I think I'm even comfortable with the top six because I think Bryce Meeker is a Big 12 lineman. Do I want him playing as a redshirt freshman? Absolutely not. Like, he'd be much better off to be like second or third string, you know, and not that immediate guy at guard or tackle or at guard or center, no matter who goes down.
Right.
But
it's seven,
guys
eight,
like
nine.
7, 8, 9, 10. Like, I'm just like, I'm freaking out, man. Like, I'm having like nightmares thinking about what would happen if these guys all have to play.
I don't even know who 7, 8, 9 are.
Well, exactly. It's walk-ons. And I'll tell you this, the JUCOs that they brought in have not exactly been impressive.
Not lighting it up.
No.
Carson Green could play if needed. Right? Because he was here in spring. He's at least...
Well, that's about the best thing you can say at this point.
But, the rest of them
haven't...
Does
Bruns have any eligibility left?
Can you throw him out there?
I mean... Here's the good thing is that I think in years past, you know, you have an offensive coordinator who's a quarterback's coach or who's a whatever Mangino was, tight ends or whatever the hell he was trying to do. And it was a situation where, like, they're like, well, why can't you give us more protection? But now, Tom knows that this line is not Big 12 caliber. He's not going to ask Sam to go on 5, 6, 7.
Joel.
Yeah, sorry. I'm so used to Sam Richards. He's not going to ask Joel to go on a 7-step drop and
make four reads.
Yeah, like, they're just not going to do that. So, having said that, like, you still have to have concerns about Tom Manning being the offensive coordinator. I do. Like, I just want to see it. I love Tom Manning. He's one of my favorite guys on the staff. He's brighter than hell.
Yep.
He's smarter than hell. I think he's a phenomenal line coach. He's still never called plays at this level. So, like, you know, all this stuff together, I think that if you're not a little skeptical going into the season, you're not realistic.
Who is the cat? Is the offensive line coach that went to Louisville?
Klonakis. Oh,
at least you don't have him still.
Did you ever hear the story of what Tom Farniok did when Klonakis got when he left?
No. So Klonakis, he was the pistol guy from Nevada.
Yeah, that was that offseason. And we all talked about the pistol.
He was the weirdo. Like, this guy was really weird.
Yeah.
Football coaches are weird in general. This guy was really, really weird.
He's like, it's 20 below wearing like those
Kansas
shorts.
So the Kansas game, he was in
like just a
short sleeve.
Like just one of those like breathable polos.
Yeah.
The Nike Flex ones.
But he had gloves on. It's like, what's the point then, guy?
Well, you know, keep the headset, you know.
he was a strange and the
legend.
The Rhodes experiment with between Messingham to him and
Mangino.
What a cluster.
Legend has it when it was announced that Klonakis was leaving, Farniok broke down the door in his apartment in ecstasy. Dude, that
nobody
Farniok
that
is now. He's like a strength coach at Buffalo.
Well, because he was interning with the men's basketball team at Iowa State.
I need to get Farniok on Off the Record.
I would love to hear some of his stories.
So Farniok, it was like last year, he was out of work for a while. It was after he didn't make the Vikings. And he was supposed to come down and go to SmackDown with me. Jeez. We were, because he's a big wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And then somebody like died or something and he couldn't go. But he's my dude, man. Like, he would be really good on Off the Record.
If you're at a computer right now, Google Chris Klonakis, Klenakis, and look at his Louisville bio picture.
And that's where he's at now?
Yeah, he's at Louisville now.
Can you show it to me? I don't know. Yeah,
I would have him retake my photo.
Yeah, that's
it. What are you doing?
You should make that your Twitter avatar.
was an experiment gone poorly.
Only the diehards will get that.
Okay, man. So
you're optimistic about the offensive line. I like the defensive line.
You're right, though. They can't, on either place, they can't really, there's not a lot of depth there. This isn't.
We're not Alabama.
Alabama,
right now.
You just throw somebody else. Because I don't want to talk about it, but if one of those guys gets hurt.
On which side?
Either. They don't have a lot. Robbie Garcia's, I guess, still around.
Robbie Garcia. Do you remember
started? Pierre Aka is not a starter. That surprised me. That Vernell Trent is supposed to be ahead of him.
Why'd that surprise you?
I don't know. It's not Pierre Aka might start once in his life.
I mean, what has Pierre Aka ever done to show you that he deserves to start?
I think he was a starter in spring.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on.
He's got the build for it.
Well, he's always hurt, though. He's always getting dinged up.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever stayed healthy.
They need that front four to be good because linebackers are.
Well, at least there's only two of them.
Yeah, but they're all hurt or sick.
Willie Harvey's not bad.
He's had the flu all camp.
Well, yeah. Try to think of who else. Kane Seeley, that scares me.
They said, I thought it was interesting, that linebacker coach Tyson Bite.
Yeah.
Said they would play Harvey and Northrop together. That made me feel better.
Oh, yeah, that makes me feel better, too.
That those two could be the linebackers.
I like Northrop a lot.
I like Northrop, too. His brother, Reggie, was one of the all-time leading tacklers at Florida State.
No crap?
Yeah.
What year?
2 years ago. He was on that Florida State team with Winston.
Seriously?
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
He didn't get drafted.
Closet Florida State fan.
But he's a...
But I am.
He was a huge, huge tackling machine at Florida State. Reggie Northrup.
Interesting.
That's Regan's brother.
I don't know. I mean, I think I like their 4-2-5 look, and what can you say about the secondary? I mean, the secondary is going to be pretty good, but... You're only as good as the boys in front of you.
True. I think the secondary is as good as they've since Rhodes' first year, and maybe even since 05. Remember that group with Greedy Paris, the four Dodge kid Mosier, and then LaMarcus Hicks was there with, who's the other corner? Oh, DeAndre.
Yeah, DeAndre Jackson.
Poor guy should be in the NFL. Could have been in the NFL.
He was a stud.
Got hurt.
If he just would have picked up the damn ball against Nebraska, though. But anyway, we're not going back on 2005.
But between Peavy, who high ceiling, I like Jamal Wiltz. I think he's serviceable. And then Payne, they love Edwards, the transfer from Duke. He's going to play a ton. Mike Johnson.
Tribune still.
He won't play against you and I, but he'll be back for the Iowa game. They got some bodies there. That's the nice part. They have depth there. They can rotate them through if they need to.
Correct.
But Sam Richardson's finally done, though, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Sam Richardson feel like he was there for 8 years?
The guy they really like is Everett Edwards.
Yeah, the Duke kid.
Yeah, they love him.
He's got 2 years, too. He's a grad transfer. Yeah, he's got 2 years.
If you ask anybody in that who's the guy who stood out to you in camp this year? Like, Everett Edwards is the guy they all talk about. That and that DeShante
Jones,
the wide receiver.
You hear that every single day now.
They're obsessed with DeShante Jones.
He's going to play. He's challenging Trevor Ryan, I guess.
Yeah, but that, unfortunately for that kid, the expectations are already way too high. I'll tell you that right now.
Agreed.
If I become the jaded Iowa State guy.
Yes.
But you've been an Iowa State guy a lot longer than me. How are you not jaded?
Because hope springs eternal. Is that the saying? You just got to keep believing. Maybe this is going to be the year.
Oh, I'm a believer in what they're doing. I just think that they need more than 1 year to accomplish a lot.
I know, but I always look at if everything goes perfectly.
Well, I like that.
If everything goes perfectly, then they could get six.
No, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I don't think their schedule's brutal either.
It's not as bad as it has been.
I mean, you get, the way I look at it, it's a trade-off. You get San Jose State at home instead of at Toledo.
Right.
It's a huge win. I mean, I could make a lot of comments last year about the Iowa game and how close they were to actually winning that.
This game is tied with 4 minutes left.
Correct. However, going into it, they weren't supposed to win it. They're not supposed to win it this year. You're doing some trade-offs as far as, sure, you got to go to Texas, but you get Kansas State at home. That's a pretty even trade.
Those three to have at home are huge. K-State, Tech, West Virginia.
Yeah, I agree.
It's when those are flipped, it gets difficult because it's tough to win in Lubbock and in Morgantown.
Yeah.
But you get them home. They're due to beat West Virginia at home. Haven't done it yet.
Jeez. I'd love to beat. Who would you rather beat, though, Kansas State or West Virginia? It's Kansas State, right?
The Vampire.
Yeah. Is he done after this year? Do we know it like for a fact?
It's not done yet. If they go, he saved – the Iowa State job saved him another year, though, because they need that game to go to a bowl.
So Rhodes' collapse.
It kind of
kept the Vampire.
Helped him kick because they don't make a bowl without him. And then I don't think they're going to make a bowl this year.
I don't think they're very good.
I'm not sold on them.
We're going to have to watch that game next Friday night. I think they're just going to get
worked by
Stanford. Housed by Stanford. That's a
must watch.
That's a how much money you got in your wallet? You put it on
17?
15 and a half is what I saw. Get it early. Jump on that early. That would be my advice.
It's going to keep going up.
That's going to, yeah.
Although Stanford just keeps teams around sometimes.
If you're into that type of thing, I would suggest placing any of your, because week one bets have been out for months now.
Right.
I would suggest placing anything you can early.
I mean, it will be an upgrade for Christian McCaffrey against the K-State defense as opposed to the Iowa defense still in the Rose Bowl. So that might be an adjustment.
Thanks to the Iowa Clinic for sponsoring Off the Record here with Brent Bloom. Hey, guess who I'm interviewing on Monday? Going into Bill Finley's office.
Oh, the legend.
Well, I figure, you know, the season starts.
They've got some fun new pieces now.
No, they do. The season starts, and I still to this day consider Bill Finley the cornerstone of the Iowa State Athletics Department. And I thought it'd be a really nice way to start off game week, getting coach and having a conversation with him. A little off the record.
That's great. 21st year this year for Bill. And get his read on the Cardinals. Still in the playoffs. So they're still around.
We're not going to talk about the Cardinals.
I'll be interested to hear. I think you should ask him this. Because he came from Toledo, of all places.
Oh, yeah. That's a good angle.
The adjustment and how, what he thinks of Matt Campbell. Because Bill will tell you to this day, one of his best friends in the world is Dan McCarney.
Oh, yeah, they're tight.
So I'd be curious the connection there. I thought you guys had Lane Danielson on the Fawcast.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting how open Campbell has been to the McCarney regime. And I think it's enough years have passed now where it feels more open. And Dan came back for the spring, and good to have McCarney back. He's Hall of Fame induction this year, right?
Yeah, it's coming.
That's gonna be great.
I texted my source. I said, "Hey, what's up with Justin Thomas?" Response: "Nothing that I know of. What's up?"
That's the problem. Nobody knows.
Well, I think that I think the source thought that I saw Justin Thomas
something bad happened, that
he got arrested. Yeah. Or I'm like, no. I'm just wondering about how he did in camp.
He's the mystery man.
Interesting. I just got some more information. He's either, I'll just put it this way, he's either really good or really bad. Like one day he's great, the other day he's
not. Well, he's athletically one of the more impressive guys to put on a long time. You got to get
Iowa State only gets so many guys of that caliber.
He's only a junior.
Oh, we get him next year too? Oh, then now you just made Daddy excited.
Because he played one year. Remember, he played basketball, but he didn't play football at Trinity Valley. I don't remember the whole story, but he's got another year, I believe.
What do you think about all these freshmen playing, though? This Tymar Sutton apparently has a broken hand, but he's going to play anyways.
You know, the more I thought about it, I used to be of the belief that at Iowa State, you're not getting the 3, 4, 5 stars, or four, maybe five stars. So you have to develop guys.
Yeah.
But as time goes on and you follow it closely, just think of how many redshirt seniors are going to play this year. I bet it's under 8. So if you're good enough to play now, let them play. Whether it's injuries or transfers or something not working where they leave, get the guys on the field while they can make an impact. If you're good enough to play, play. And if you're losing, so the argument then is, well, look at Jake Knott and A.J. Klein. They played as true freshmen. If you get them for another year, then 2013 is totally different. But that's – Jake Knott gets hurt as a senior. Who knows if he even comes back?
Yeah.
Then. I mean, there's so many variables.
You don't know what's going to happen 4 years from now.
You don't. And so I think if these guys should play, one, it'll help your team this year. I think it helps recruiting if you can play immediately. And I thought this was fascinating. Since 2012 – Iowa State has played true freshmen 9% of the time, right? So of the true freshmen they've had in the program, only 9% have played. TCU has played 53% of their true freshmen.
Wow.
Oklahoma has played 41% of their true freshmen.
Wow.
So there's two things here. One, they're willing to play them. Two, they're getting better players that can play.
Yeah.
So that's part of it.
Clearly,
I get that.
They're not getting guys who need 3 years to develop.
Yeah, but yet still. It's not hurting those two programs from playing young guys. And if you can, like even TCU had that little running back last year that came out of nowhere and played quite well. I think he got hurt in the Iowa State game, actually. If those guys can play, if Deshante Jones can play and he's going to help you win games, go for it.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't worry about what's happening 4 years from now anymore because college football is going so fast. I don't even know Matt Campbell's going to be here in 4 years. So let's play the guys while you can. Yeah, that's a long time.
A long time, yeah.
I mean, seriously, look at the redshirt seniors that will play. There's not as many as you think. I mean,
and you're always trying to over-recruit guys anyway.
Anyway, and that's they got to be thinking that too. Is that if we're going to develop these guys, great. But we hopefully 3 years from now we're recruiting better players than what we have.
Other
in the program.
Than, I would make an argument that you'd still probably not want to play a ton of guys as freshmen on the lines.
That's true. Now the lines
that's
are different.
That's different. Yeah.
But the skill guy, I think anybody outside the football, if you can play, and guess what, Alabama. Has a true freshman starting on the offensive line this
year. Yeah, so it can't happen.
If you get a freak, play him.
Well, it's kind of like Brian Bobek.
Yeah.
He started as a freshman at Ohio State.
And so much can happen in football. Like Burton should be a redshirt senior this year. Not there. And just think of all the guys, the attrition in the offensive line especially. I'm not holding out just because I think maybe they'll be better in 3 years. Play him if you can.
What about DeVario Montgomery ended up at Toledo? How crazy is that?
That had to be coordinated a little bit, right? Because the coach there is...
Like, he was like on Iowa State's staff for a couple days.
For 2 days, Jason Candles is now.
Yeah. He was working for the athletic department.
That had to be coordinated by the Iowa State staff a little bit. I don't know that for a fact, but the guy just doesn't... Jason Candle, the coach at Toledo, doesn't go, hey, guys, tell me about DeVario Montgomery a little bit.
And they say, oh, he's a piece of crap, I'll take him. Yeah, no. You're right.
So... I think DeVaro's an okay guy. He didn't quite work at Iowa.
He seemed kind of like an introvert a little bit.
Yeah.
Like just a quiet guy.
Quiet, very quiet.
Yeah.
Marchie Murdoch's going to help a lot.
Oh, like Marchie, yeah. Marchie's the slot receiver, correct?
He is.
Yeah, he'll be right in there with Jones and Trevor Ryan.
Yep. I think Marchie, I'm going to put a number for Marchie. I'm going 30-plus catches this year.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm hearing great things about Marchie Murdoch.
Can you name your source, or is this an unnamed source?
No, I mean I think a general source from people who have watched him play.
He has a great name, too.
It's a great name.
Anytime you can work alliteration into your name.
I got come up
Brent
with
Bloom.
Yeah, so that's a great Ben Bruns.
Ben Bruns.
Marchie Murdoch.
Marchie Murdoch.
Yeah, so we Marchie. That's going to be I heard, working on the touchdown call.
I heard that Sean Foster Marchie. Might play too.
Yeah.
On the line.
Again, same thing. Go back to the freshman thing. If you throw him out there.
Well, he's got to be better than like these walk-on defensive linemen who they're moving over
right?
there.
Better
Although
be.
I think that kid's back on the D-line now, by the way.
The Breon Career mystery?
Yeah.
I just
well, that's what the latest roster yeah. said.
When are they depth chart Monday?
I hope so. I'm tired of all the speculation. And the just, you know what though?
They know what it is.
Yeah, they're not even what you see on Monday is just going to be a very loose guide to what you'll see on Saturday.
Sure. But the two freshman running backs will play.
Both of them will?
Both of them will.
Are you breaking news?
No, I'm. That's my educated speculation.
Okay, because I always just assumed one of them would play.
I think they're both going to play.
Well, you got to say more than that.
No, like, that's what.
Give us some analysis to go with it. Why? Like, why wouldn't you just play one of them?
Because they both can help, and you need three running backs anymore.
Yeah, but you got Mitch Harder.
You can't Mitch Harder. Okay, if they don't play game one, then it's a little bit different. I think if you're going to play them, though, go for it. But they love those two.
Yeah,
a lot.
One guy told me that like they're right on Mike Warren's level when he came in.
They're pushing. They're not going to take Mike Warren's job.
No,
but they're going to take some carries from Mike.
Mike Warren like worked his ass off during the redshirt year to become what he was as a redshirt freshman. These guys won't have that.
They have been two of the bigger playmakers in fall practice. It reminds me of
like Marchie,
the legends of Marchie's played at Illinois. Like I think Marchie's got a little more reputation than these two.
Meyer and Blythe, is this what this
no,
is?
But
Bo Williams,
somewhat. So the legends of Iowa State running backs passed. Okay, like we go down the line now. Remember Josh Juice Johnson?
Oh yeah, the Juice, Juicy.
Where McCarney comes, so this is 06. McCarney comes, he's a true freshman from Oklahoma. He goes, this guy's got the juice. Real, 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 real special. He's got the juice. He starts as a freshman.
Yeah.
Stevie was dinged, and so he didn't play. But and he, Juice Johnson, then they had that.
J.J. Bass.
Big J.J. Bass is JUCO.
He was actually pretty good.
He's one of the highest rated recruits to ever commit to Iowa State. So,
yeah, he was good.
Remember
nice
that,
player.
That big fullback that was a wrestler from Ohio.
Actually, Bo Blankenship?
No, he was a huge kid. I can't think of his name right now, but he scored a touchdown.
Was this in the McCarney years?
Yeah, it was the McCarney years. They kind of kept him silent, and they bring him in. He was a wrestler. I'll think of the name.
Cook?
No,
Ryan Cook?
Nope, from Ohio. Somebody out there knows who I'm talking about. But
Katie Robinette's his wife.
Ryan Cook's, yeah.
Yeah. No. The first family of Iowa State Athletic.
Then the running, like, A-Rob... A-Rock came in quietly.
He was a baller.
Yeah, but he was good. I'm just trying to think of running backs that
I remember
you
watching.
Hear, even
do you remember watching Bo Blankenship play on Maction on like Tuesday nights
they
for Ohio?
Kept him. He was great. Him and Phil Bates.
Yeah, Phil Bates was there too. Yeah, Phil Bates, the guy who made the catch in the 15-13
yeah,
Iowa game,
the Culbertson game.
Yeah,
that was Phil Bates.
I've got that memorial jersey, the Brett Meyer memorial jersey from that game, hanging up in my office.
Ference has more losses to Iowa State than he does to Ohio State.
Tweet that right now. Tweet it.
Bloom. Well, you have
so many bullets in the chamber.
I'm waiting for a Cy-Hawk week.
Oh, because
it's great that, Chris, Instagram was invented after the last time Iowa beat Iowa State in Kinnick. After. And how many people use Instagram?
You should post that on the new Cyclone Fanatic Instagram page.
That would be a great tweet, actually. This service didn't exist Iowa beat Iowa State at Kinnick.
The boys are teaching me about Instagram. Like, why should I use it instead
of
Twitter?
Because that's the kids, man. They're all over it.
Yeah.
Snapchat, Instagram. Twitter's still going to be valuable. It's not going to be the same.
I need to start building up the Instagram.
I think you got to build up the Instagram a little bit.
That's just,
I know, but it's
God.
Pictures.
I mean, how much time do I have to spend on social media anymore?
But you need...
My God.
I'm convinced 50% of Instagram is just...
It's branding.
Well, no, it's ladies and
oh, it's just boobs. And,
yeah,
yeah.
But hey, that's whatever people want to look at.
That's what Snapchat was pretty dirty there. I was on the Snapchat for a while.
Well, you're probably if you're following the
well. If I told you that story of what happened,
was it the Iowa State account?
Yeah, and I thought it was like student life. I thought it was like a...
What was the name of it? It was,
I don't even know.
Yeah, people know.
But I was... It was at a basketball game.
Oh, no.
And it... I had it... I, like, followed him on Twitter. Because I didn't really do state snaps.
Yeah,
like,
state snaps. Was,
Yeah. I didn't even do, like, the Snapchat.
The Snapchat for it.
Yeah, it was state snaps. I think it was, like, state underscore snaps or whatever.
Oh, and, did you have it open on your
Yeah, I had
monitor?
It open, and, like, oh, no. It was, like, these two young geology majors just going to town.
And your media seat at the basketball arena is
like,
right...
everybody can see it behind me, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
So
I got rid of that. But get the Instagram going.
Okay. Well, it's on. We have the Psych 1 Fanatic.
Yeah, it's there. We just got to beef it up a little bit. Stansy's young enough. He should figure it out.
So I told him, I go, that's your job. Just kick ass on Instagram.
Got one job.
What do you...
One job only.
Okay, we have one more topic that we wanted to hit, and that is Joel Lanning's rank among Big 12 quarterbacks.
Oh, this was interesting to me. Where would you go?
Okay, like, are you talking, like, best quarterbacks or best fit with teams? Like, that's a difference.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league.
Okay, so this is what – this I wrote this down a couple weeks ago. The USA Today came up with their quarterback rankings, and –
Can I give you mine, or do you want me to try and match theirs?
No, go with yours, and I'll tell you what they had.
This is if I had to draft a team – the type of team that I would want.
Yes, they're kind of ranking the starting quarterbacks. I don't. That's a very loose criteria.
Well, they're probably going to go with Baker Mayfield.
They
first.
Did.
Okay, because that
he's a Heisman candidate,
and I'm fine with that. I love Baker Mayfield. If I were to like draft a team, I would put Patrick Mahomes 1. I would put Mason Rudolph 2.
Wow.
And I would put Baker Mayfield 3.
So they went Mayfield, Mahomes, Rudolph.
Rudolph. Or I said Randolph. Is it Rudolph?
It's Rudolph.
Okay, yeah. Excuse me, Mason.
He's an NFL arm. I don't know if he's got it upstairs yet.
He is a... Have you, like, just stood next to him?
He's got a better arm than Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah. So does Mahomes.
Mahomes is, too.
Mahomes has a cannon, dude.
It is interesting to me that...
He's a freak.
Two of the starting quarterbacks in the Big 12, their dads were Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, that is interesting. The kid from Texas.
Now, Texas, yeah.
Bouchel.
Yep. Shane is his name. Steve was the dad.
Where is Shane ranked?
Where would you put him?
Okay, 4th. Let me think of who I would put 4th. This is where it gets interesting because it's kind of like, Seth Russell.
Seth Russell's fourth. Top four, pretty good. I think the top four can match pretty much every conference.
Yeah, I would agree.
And this is what also is fun about the Big 12 now is you know these guys.
5th would be Kenny Hill.
They have him at 5.
Okay.
Yep. Who is officially the starter at TCU.
Yeah, that happened today, if you guys didn't know.
He was was it 2 years ago where he went nuts against South Carolina in the opener for A&M and then just didn't do
Thursday
much.
Thursday night.
Yeah, he didn't do much the rest of the year.
We all got Kenny Hill fever because it was right after Johnny Football.
Yep.
And Kevin Sumlin's stock had never been higher.
And then they haven't done much since then.
Yeah. Okay, give me the teams that I haven't named a quarterback for. Kansas's will be last.
So, Texas, West Virginia, K-State, Iowa State, Kansas.
Who is West Virginia's? Trickett's gone. Who's their...
It's the same kid from last year, Skylar Howard.
Yeah, Howard. Okay, so he's probably 6th.
They have him at 7.
Okay. So then they've got Bouchel at 6?
Seems high.
That seems high for a true
freshman. He hasn't taken a snap yet.
So then they've probably got... I'd put Lanning above Jesse Ertz.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
They have... The trio at K-State, have they picked a guy yet? Is it officially Ertz?
I think it's Ertz.
They have Ertz, Huebner, or Delton at K-State above Lanning.
For Iowa State's standpoint, I hope they play Huebner.
Right. God, he can throw.
He's horrible.
Yeah. But Lanning at 9, see, that surprised me. This is good, though. He wasn't good enough last year where he has a target on him with expectations. But he was good, though. I mean, 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, threw it 55%. He's got to get that figure above 60%.
I'm a homer. I'd put him
7, 6?
6 or 5 or 6.
And then they
probably
have 6. Ryan Willis at KU at 10.
They're irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd put him above the Kansas State guys for sure. I put him above the freshman for sure. I'm talking now. I mean,
who knows?
The Texas kid could
be great.
Could be Dan Marino someday. We don't know. I don't know. But I know what I've seen from Texas. I think they'll be better. But like, will he even be quarterback in week four? I mean, if they get piss pounded by Notre Dame in week one, yeah, I don't know.
Swoops can't throw though. The only time he threw it well is against Iowa State.
Against the Clones.
That
was a painful loss.
That was bad.
That was the night you guys had the hellish night with Cyclones TV.
Yeah, but we didn't know.
I got a long phone conversation with Sage scheduled for tomorrow night.
Tell him I hope he's preparing.
We're going to talk about that's what we're doing. I'm going to tell him about the roster a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Sage is good.
You know what I love about Sage? He researches the hell out of it.
He works at it.
He's like, texting me. He's like, hey, you got an hour? Well, okay. Whatever, man.
Sage is like 6'5". I'm not. And so they give me a box to stand
on. Are they going to do that?
Probably a box, or we'll sit down. Yeah, so that's TV magic right there.
Are you looking forward to the broadcast?
Yeah, it'd be good. Get to do two of them this year.
What's the second Cyclones TV game?
Texas again. Same setup as 2 years ago.
Oh. Did they have the Atlanta thing figured out?
I think they got the Atlanta thing figured out, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But that's the agreement they made, so it'll all be good.
For some reason, my wife just brought my daughter down here, so you can hear a little girl talking in the back of the podcast. That's okay, though.
That's right.
Apparently, my wife just doesn't think we do, like, professional work down here.
Working hard.
Here on Off the Record.
Just can't bring him anywhere, Chris.
Okay. The Kenny Hill thing, though, I think that they're really good.
Are you saying...
I think that they're like...
So I give you right now, I give you Oklahoma, I give you TCU. Are you taking TCU?
No, because it comes down to a lot of things. Like, I haven't seen it yet. Like, from that offensive group, I know that they're elite on defense. I know that this Oklahoma team's playoff caliber, and their non-con's good enough where I think they're going to win both of those games. I think they beat Houston and Ohio State.
Ohio State. Yeah,
and if they win those games, it buys them a margin for error.
They could lose a Big 12 game.
Yeah, so that's why I would still take Oklahoma. But
could the Big 12 get two?
It almost happened 2 years
ago. Yeah, who's TCU's non-con? TCU play anybody? Where is that game this year?
Hold on, I'll pull it up.
Because I think those would be my two best bets.
I actually don't think it's that bad this year, their non-con.
Oklahoma State's not getting in there. Baylor's not getting in there. I'm not buying Texas. Guy on Cakes, yesterday, Ben Kercheval from CBS, saying Texas is going to win 9 games.
That's insane.
That's so stupid.
They get South Dakota State, the Fighting Otzelburgers. They get Arkansas at home at SMU.
Okay, so they should.
So if you beat Arkansas,
that's a nice
win. That's a nice win.
That one, what is that, the Iowa State weekend?
Yeah.
That's a nice little game.
6 o'clock, so we won't be able to watch it. Can't watch any games.
Nope, not anymore.
You got mark October 1st on your calendar.
Which is Oklahoma-TCU?
Oklahoma at TCU.
See, TCU's got them at home. So there's your scenario. If you want two.
Yeah, you want
you,
TCU
you almost to need
there.
TCU to win there, and then they go undefeated. Oklahoma's one loss is at TCU, but they sweep Ohio State and Houston. I think those two are by far above the rest of the pack this year. I don't believe in Texas yet. I think Oklahoma State has major question marks. Baylor's a whatever they are right now. And then 6 through 10, I think, is a jumble.
Do you agree with me that Iowa State could beat Baylor if the night suits them right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Because, I mean... The pre, like, Briles on steroids era, like, they were terrible going north.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't have a line now.
They don't have a – that's the
thing, like, that people don't realize about Baylor is how good they've been up front the last 2-3 years.
Everyone sees Baylor and go, okay, RG3, Nick Florence, Seth Russell, throw, West Coast, boom, boom, boom. They've led the nation in rushing the last 4 years.
Yeah.
It's not the passing. It's the running that sets up the passing, because you get so focused on the interior that you got to, you know, you man up outside, and then they kill you with speed on the outside. But they, if they can't block anybody.
Well, even their defense, too.
Yeah, like, they don't have Billings or Oakman.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
They've got athletes, great. But if you don't have the bodies inside to block, they're going to be good. They'll win 7 or 8 games. But that's definitely a game Iowa State could grab, depending on the situation. I think Iowa State could win 4 games in the Big 12. I really do. They haven't done it in a long time, but.
Well, if they do that, they should be 6-6.
I think they get to. I'm not predicting them to win 6 games. I think that's. I think it's out there.
I picked them to go 4-8. I would have picked them to go 5-7 had Campos not gotten hurt.
I'll go 5-7.
Okay.
I'll go 5-7, and they get either K-State or West Virginia at the end of the year.
I hope you're right. Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not trying to be like negative. I just the reason I'm kind of like this is because I like Matt Campbell so much. And I believe
you don't get too crazy.
I want to give him time, you know? Like I think that if you give this guy time, that really good things are going to happen. Like I don't see the point in it, cuz this really isn't his group yet. And they've had a lot of stuff they can't control. Like to expect 7 wins this year, it seems just unrealistic to me.
It is interesting to me, though, where that's true. Like, you don't want to set the expectations too high for those guys, but then they'd be the first ones to tell you,
oh, I know.
Screw you, man. We're going
to
do it.
Campbell would threaten to punch me in the face if he heard me say that.
It's like that dude at the bar with irrational confidence right now, where they think there's so much belief in up there in the football facility where they think they're going to do it. Like, they haven't been. But by the end of it, same thing happened to McCartney. They both got beaten down so much from the, well, we have so many disadvantages here in the Big 12 that how are we going to do this? Where these guys say, what disadvantage? Let's do this. And they're going for it. They don't believe that they can't do it. And I think that's refreshing.
It is.
I hope it stays that way. Paul Rhodes was like that, I think, for the first couple of years, and then it just warmed down eventually. But I don't. This staff has something to it where I don't know if that's going to happen. So let's see if we can strike gold while we have them.
Well, it'll be fun. Looking forward to it. Bloom, thanks for your time. We'll see you next Thursday at Benchwarmers.
6-7.
We'll look forward to that. Another off-the-record podcast. It's scheduled. I don't want to overpromote because Bill Finley is a busy guy, but I'm scheduled to interview Coach on Monday morning. We'll talk a lot of football. He's a huge football fan. And then guys, have a great last weekend without football.
You will have football every weekend.
Well,
until
we have
February.
This weekend.
Well, I guess it was Cal and
Hawaii.
Will you watch that?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I'm going down to Kansas City.
Is that Friday night or Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to watch that game at the Power and Light District.
Man.
Why wouldn't you watch it? It starts at like 10 o'clock. What the hell else are you going to do?
I know. I'll watch it. Just all the degenerates.
Thanks to our friends at the Iowa Clinic. Be a man. Go to the doctor. Don't be the little girly man, you know, that has some sort of a health ailment and you let it get too bad and then it ends up killing you 5 years from now.
Or if you have a urgent care, like if you have the flu or you got sinus infection, they can end it quicker than
they'll take
you
care
can.
Of it. Yeah. Just go to the urgent care. He's Brent Bloom. I'm Chris Williams. So long.